Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Houston Dash head coach Sam Lady joins us now. Sam, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Glenn. Happy to be on.
Yeah, so you and I were talking before we got on the air here about Houston and a differing city than Seattle and that area of the country. And I can tell you this, we won't get as much rain, but when we do, I hope you have a boat because we flood a lot here.
Yeah, it appears to be the case. Well, in fact, actually, since I've been here, it's actually rained quite a lot. So I think the players and the staff are looking upon me with a bit of a wry eye, asking if I brought the rain with me. But a different culture. I've really been impressed with the city. Obviously very diverse. I think I knew that coming in, and the amount of exploring I've done so far, I've always found something new and something different, and I'm looking forward to exploring a little bit more.
Sam, how about just taking us into some of your background growing up with the game? Obviously, you're English, and some of your early influences.
Well, yeah, I grew up in Plymouth, England. I supported, I'm a fan of my local club, which is Plymouth Argyle, but I'm a supporter of Liverpool. So not a great day yesterday, Glenn, I'll be honest with you. Grew up supporting Liverpool, played a little bit of football. We lived in an area in the West Country where the outdoors was a big part of our life. So did a lot of surfing, spent the summers down at the beach, then played football with the rest of my time. And then, went in and did a sports science degree at the University College of St. Mark in St. John. One of the instructors there, one of the professors there was one of the lead educators at the FA, and encouraged me to get into coaching. So 3 or 4 of us jumped on the coaching bandwagon pretty early. I think I was 19 at the time, because I wasn't a very good player. So if you can't play, the best thing to do is teach. Jumped on the coaching career path very early. And, you know, really at that time, like most people of that age, really didn't quite know where it was going to take me. I knew that I enjoyed being outside. I knew I enjoyed being around people. I love the game. And the ability to sort of transform people and to take somewhere where they couldn't get by themselves, you know, was appealing to me. And here you are, 20 something years later, as the head coach of the Houston Dash.
And a young head coach at that. You're only 46 years of age, so you're a young head coach at that. You know, there is a Liverpool supporters group here. I'll just let you know that. So it's good to know you follow Liverpool, because we can bring you in on that down the road. But, you know, I often hear that, you have to have played at a high level to be a great coach. I believe that's a misnomer. There's a lot of great examples of people that haven't played at a high level. What do you think when you hear people say that? You know, you have to have been there to know it, because we all haven't played in the Champions League final.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think that's somewhat of an old fashioned approach. I think we've probably moved on now as we've gone through sort of generational gaps. I think we've probably moved on a little bit from that. Not to say that it's not still consistent. Now, don't get me wrong. There is incredible value in people that have played at the highest of levels. And, you know, I wouldn't say that just because somebody has not played at the highest level that they're an amazing coach, and likewise the opposite. And yeah, for me, I think the experience obviously of playing at a high level is important, but we have to remember, Glenn, that coaching is about connecting with people, and it's about teaching. And I think sometimes in the experiences that I've had when I've been around players that have become coaches at the highest level, where they've been players at the highest level and become coaches, they know the game, they see the game, but it's very different to teaching the game to somebody that does not have certainly the experience that you might have had as a player. So, really for me, coaching is about connecting with people. It's about, you know, really relationships and productivity.
And, I want to keep this on more of the Houston Dash here, but I do want to talk to you about your time at OL Reign, because that's obviously shaped a lot of your influence on the NWSL and your coaching career under Laura Harvey. Just talk about that time there. You were there for quite some time, 2013 to 2022. A lot of success there, a lot of challenges as well. Just how important was that time period for you as a growth period for a coach and experience?
Well, I will say this. I wouldn't be where I am now, having gone through the positive experiences and also the negative, right? That through the, you know, failure is a feature, Glenn, of anybody that reaches the highest level, and it's not often talked about. And it's easy for us to talk about, you know, failure provides feedback and it's important for growth. But I don't think anybody that's at the highest level in probably any industry has not experienced failure as being a prominent feature of their career. So yeah, for me, I've worked with three head coaches that were very different leaders, very different coaching styles, very different personalities. So, you know, I had a perfect lens really of having the opportunity to look at how these people operated, how they dealt with players, how they managed players, how they organized sessions. It was an amazing education for me. And obviously, at that time, you see things from the outside and you think, well, yeah, I like this. I think this works. And perhaps if I had the opportunity myself, I'd do something different. So now I've bottled up all that experience, and now I'm, you know, becoming my own man, as it were. Really, really fortunate for the time in Seattle. Obviously, it's my home base. Really, really, really fortunate to be able to work with three personalities and coaches like that and experience, you know, success and failure. And I'm not necessarily talking about success in terms of winning, and I'm not necessarily talking about failure in terms of losing, but just the experience of three different cultures. And obviously in that time, we've gone through a lot of generational changes as well. Even in 10 years, that the person that the rookie that was coming out of college 10 years ago was very different typically to the player that comes out now. So I feel like I've had a good opportunity to sort of evolve as the league's evolved.
Yeah, lots of change going on. Sam Lady, new head coach of the Houston Dash, comes over from Seattle. Quick word on Laura Harvey and working for her or with her.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Great personality. I mean, a fantastic coach, right? World-renowned. One of the best qualities is a management of certainly of players, and tactically she, you know, she gets things, you know, spot on. So I'm hoping that I've been able to coaches are the best thieves, Glenn. So I'm hoping that I've stolen enough of the good stuff from her and are able to sort of shape that into some of my own ideas that I have for culture and for a team.
Sam, so many years as an assistant, you know, when did you decide you wanted to be a head coach? And did the Dash reach out to you first, or did you see this opportunity and go, now is my time?
Yeah, I suppose I that's a really interesting question. I'd say probably 3 years ago, being a head coach, yeah, it was on the radar, but a really sort of in terms of where I was at in my life and where the family was at, it was not to say that I was comfortable, but we were in a good spot. And sometimes it's easy for you to be looking over the fence to see what the neighbors are doing and getting sidetracked, right? So I was happy with where I was at. I was still growing as a person, as a coach. But then when I took over after Fareed had left the club, when I took over for those five games, that really whetted my appetite. And then at that point, Glenn, was, you know, there's no going back now. Yeah. I'm going to go back and be a good staff member, be a good supporter of the club, and be a good supporter of the staff and the head coach. But now I know where my future lies. So that period of those five games really, really sort of lit the spark, really, for me to say, right, this is what I want to do. And to be honest, it probably professionally and personally, that probably was something that I needed. So,
That's really funny, because I was just going to say, was that something you needed? Because look, we all can get into the comfort zone, right? Any of us. I find this really fascinating how you got that moment where it just kind of lit the fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a turning point for me personally and professionally. And of course, you know, there were, I think, you know, as an assistant coach, I always would back myself to think that I could lead and coaching, really, Glenn, at this level, the first thing is about leadership, and it has to start with the staff. So the first thing you have to do to be a good coach is to be a good leader, because you can't coach yourself out of poor leadership. And I don't care how competent you are as a coach. You can be a master tactician, you could be a master motivator, but if you're a poor leader, then, you know, things, it's impossible for you to make the, to be consistently successful. Yeah. So it was really, yeah, really lit the spark and exactly what I needed probably at that time, my professional and personal life.
I like that line. You can't coach yourself out of bad leadership. I've never heard it put like that before. Sam Lady, he's a head coach of the Houston Dash. All right, so let's get into preseason now. The nice thing is you got a nice long preseason. I would imagine you like that, or is it too long? What do you think?
For me, as a new head coach coming in, it's perfect. It really is. I think, obviously, there's a lot of new here, Glenn, right? I'm new to the club. There's a lot of new staff members. There's a number of new players. And I think, obviously, when you look to do new things, and obviously the way that I work and the way that I've organized things, it's different to the players have been used to, and to the staff and to the club. And obviously that inevitably it means there's going to be obstacles. For me as a head coach coming in, trying to stamp my identity on the culture and stamp my identity on the staff and stamp my identity on the team and how I see us, you know, playing on the field. The 8 weeks for me is perfect because, you know, if we were, you know, back in the day, Glenn, you know, we would be playing our first game of the season this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, 4 or 5 week preseason it used to be, and we would be straight into it. So I'm very fortunate as a new head coach, and especially as a first time head coach, coming into an environment where everything's new for me and everything's new for them. You know, the 8 weeks is perfect. So for me, I'm very, 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 very happy at the 8 weeks. I'm pretty sure, though, I'm going to get to week six, halfway through week six, and we're going to be absolutely chomping at the bit. We're going to be desperate for that home opener. Perfect. 8 weeks at the time, it seems like a long period, but, you know, we're almost halfway through that, and it's absolutely flown by.
Sam Lady joining us. He's the head coach of the Houston Dash, brought in by GM Alex Singer and Jessica O'Neill. Opener March 26th. That will be the home opener. Everybody's looking forward to that one. Boy, you're inheriting a team with a lot of veterans. Jane Campbell, Sophie Schmidt, Alyssa Chapman, Nichelle Prince, Ebony Salmon, Maria Sanchez, Caprice Didasco. A lot of great talent here. Great pickup with Diana Ordonez. How's the kind of feeling each other out period going? And again, to your point of a longer preseason, it's probably a good thing, but how is that all going? And do you see improvement in that day by day? Because it is all different for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good question. And obviously we've had a number of those players that have been gone. I think we've had 8 players that have been gone on international duty. Michelle Alozi, Havana Salou, Michaela Rabam, those guys have been gone as well. So, the numbers have been down slightly. So it's been a real opportunity for me to have a look at the rest of the squad and really, really have a look at players that I probably haven't seen a lot of in the past, just because my lens has been as a competitor, as an opponent, and looking for weaknesses in the opponent. And now the lens is completely different. Now I'm taking that time to look for the qualities in every single one of them, because that's the start position for me, Glenn, irrespective of if you're a proven international player, if you're a rookie, or if you are a senior player. What I'm looking for is the best of you. And my job then is to try and put together a team where we are all getting the best out of each other on the field on a daily basis.
Sam Lady joining us, head coach of the Houston Dash, as they are preparing for their season. You know, it really is interesting, the talent you picked up. This is a big signing, Diana Ordonez. To me, it kind of symbolizes the kind of quote-unquote new NWSL. And correct me if you don't think I'm wrong, right on this, but, you know, a 3-year deal acquired from North Carolina, real money spent to get her. It really kind of shows me that the league is elevating in the competitive side and what clubs are going to be willing to spend for players.
Yeah, I think it's easy to look at the finances and look at the deal that was made, but ultimately what we're bringing in is a player with enormous potential. And, you know, the way I like to look at it is, you know, you can often go over the odds to bring in a player that is young, is proven in the league, and has enormous amounts of upside. So for me, you know, it's easy to look at it that way, but I'm looking at it, and the club's looking at it going, right, we expect Dee and the other younger players that we've got signed up to be with us for 4, 5, 6 years and to be the future of the club. So when you look at it in that sense, it's an absolute no-brainer for me. But in terms of, you know, you talk a little bit about the league, but I want to sort of turn the microscope onto the club a little bit. And Alex and Jess and Ted and myself, you know, we're ambitious. And, you know, we're not interested in signing players to make a statement, but I think that signing of D was a sign of our intent and our ambition that, you know, we want to bring in the proven talent at the NWSL level that have the potential to grow with us and grow together and create something special on and off the field. So the ambition is there for myself and the club. And that's the reason I'm here, to be honest with you. We were very aligned very early on in our conversations. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's the reason why I'm here today, because if our values weren't aligned and our ambition wasn't aligned and our vision wasn't aligned, then ultimately, you know, as much as I wanted to be a head coach in the league, I wouldn't have taken an opportunity that I didn't think there was a club there that matched my ambition. I wasn't going to uproot my family and come 2,500 miles to a club just because I could become a head coach that, you know, I'm experienced enough in life, Glenn, to recognize that, you know, I'm not, my first job was going to be very important in it. And it had to be the right fit. And Houston Dash and Alex and Jess and Ted have ticking all the right boxes.
Very, very interesting. So how much do you look, and I understand this with coaches when there's changes made, how much do you look at the prior season, what went on? How much time do you spend on that with all the change and you coming in? After all, it was the first ever time this team and the club got into the NWSL playoffs. So how much do you factor into, and how much time do you spend on last year? Or is it better to just, hey, last year was last year? I mean, do you build off principles of play and purpose of play from last year? How does that work for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think all good leaders, and I'm not suggesting I'm a good leader, Glenn, but all good leaders know that success is fleeting. And anything, you know, what happened, what was good enough for last year, Glenn, will most definitely not be good enough for this season. The league's getting stronger. You've got new coaches in the league. You've got teams that are spending a lot of money and really investing a lot. And, you know, it's important to look at the positives from last year. And I think that, and I have a good idea of what those positives were. And then also to look at the areas where we go, look, this is where the areas we need to grow. Some of it can be done internally and some of it will be done externally in terms of signings. But for the most part, for me, it was about, we took a deep dive on goals conceded. The home record was an area that I identified very early on as being a number one priority or project for myself and the club. 3 out of the last 5 seasons, we've picked up more points away from home than at home. And frankly, you know, the Houston should be an extremely intimidating place to play. The weather, the climate, everything that goes into what makes Houston special and challenging, feel that needs to be a starting point for us. So if we can continue to do what we've done on the road and pick up good points, but then turn Shell Energy Stadium into an absolute fortress, then that was a priority for me, addressing that. And, you know, best thing to do, Glenn, is to look at some of the details as to, you know, what might influence that, the home record, but then not spend too much time talking about it. Let's just work on it. I'm not somebody that likes to spend a lot of time doing presentations and just talking about where we're going to go, right? We'll set the course, Glenn. This is where we're going. This is how we're getting there. And we're just going to work on it. We're not going to spend too much time talking about it. We're just going to get to work. And then we'll reassess at a certain juncture and we'll look at creating new objectives and new opportunities for us.
Sam, if I wasn't too old, you got me wanting to put a jersey on and go out and play this afternoon. I mean, I love it. I love it. Last one before I let you kind of move on here, and we really appreciate the time. This is good, and I hope we can have a few more of these interviews, obviously, throughout the year as you continue to build out the club. You know, you said something interesting about the home and away record, and, you know, I've talked over and over with people about that. What do you think the reasoning is for that? Do you think there's less pressure potentially on the road for players? I mean, Are there little signs to that? I mean, what do you think that is, and how do you correct it, obviously, because you've identified it?
Well, I think, number one, it's way more challenging, Glenn, to play away from home than at home in this league. You know, the country's so vast.
Yeah.
The challenge is one of the biggest challenges to be a professional athlete in any sport in this country is the travel. And the travel, the time distance, the elevation changes at times. So it should be, and it is, should be more challenging to play away from home than it is at home. I've looked into a couple of things, and we've looked at processes, Glenn, in the club long before I got here. Even last season, they were looking into, you know, what can we do differently, maybe in preparing for home games? Is it the time that we train? Is it staying in a hotel the night before? Is it traveling to the game on a bus like we do for away trips? And again, that all that stuff was going on even during last season, so a long time before I got here. The one thing that's stood out for me in the analysis that that myself and the staff have done has been in 66% of all the games where we've lost at home, we've conceded the first goal.
Yeah.
So making, you know, for that, for me, that's a big marker. In fact, conceding the first goal in this league typically means that you have a 13% chance of winning the game. And then you have if you concede the first goal in this league, on average, you've got about a 13% chance to go on and win the game. And you've got about a 23% chance of getting a point out of the game. So knowing that to be the case league-wide, and that's been the case for a long time, Glenn.
Yeah, interesting data. That is really interesting data.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to getting the game's first goal and controlling the game tactically. Last one, Sam, and this will do it. Just kind of describe the purpose of play and what your team, in your mind, might look like on their best day.
I would say our attacking profile is going to be based on movement and speed. Our defensive profile is going to be based on intensity, swarming the opponent, being overwhelming for the opponent. And then in attack, devastating and ruthless.
I like that. I'll tell you what, I like that. I think the fans are going to like that. Sam, this is a great interview. Thank you so much for taking your time to come on with me. We appreciate it. And I know all the Dash fans do as well. And from me to you, welcome to Houston.
Yeah, thanks so much, Glenn. Cheers. Thank you.